Father, we thank you and we praise you, for you are so good to us. We are reminded today that you are a loving God. We don't have to hold back on that. We don't have to twist it or turn it. That's what you are. You are a loving God. As a matter of fact, if we really want to understand what love is, then we must understand who you are. You are the originator of love. Thank you for showering down upon us and giving us confidence each and every day. Now, Lord, I pray that you would take control of my tongue and that the words that would be said this morning would be words from you and from your word, and that, Lord, we might use them for the benefit of the kingdom. I want to lift up Sister Darlene Toms to you right now, Lord, who is going through a procedure this morning, and for her husband, and Lord, for any others within our congregation specifically, and for those who may be outside, I bring to mind Sister Glenda and Brother Sean, who she lost her daughter this week. I know that there are many others who are going through some trials and tribulation, but Lord, what you have for us, you have for us, and it'll be good enough. It is in Jesus' name that we pray and give all praise. Amen. A young man went to a pastor. It wasn't the pastor of the church that he belonged to, but it was another pastor. And he went to the pastor and he had a dog with him. And he told the pastor, he said, "Pastor, my dog is old now, and the doctor says that he doesn't have very long to live. And I'd like to know if you would do a very special favor upon his demise when he passes." And the pastor said, "Tell me what it is, young man." And the young man said, "I'd like for you to do his funeral." And the pastor looked at him and said, "Well, you know, I don't do the funerals for animals because the Bible doesn't speak about there being a judgment for animals. So I don't know if they're going to heaven or hell. It does speak about the lion and the lamb will lay down together. But I don't know that that would be good theology for me to do a funeral for your dog. So I'm going to have to deny that." And so the young man asked him, Deke, three times, "Please, could you do this?" He kept saying, "No, I don't think we can do it." And then the young man said to him, to the pastor, he said, "You know, the man who owned the dog before me, he gave me strict instructions along with the trust for the dog. In other words, if I took care of the dog, then when he died, I would receive $100,000, and that the person who did the funeral services for the dog, it was set aside that he would get $20,000. The pastor looked up and he says, "I didn't know your dog was a Baptist." It's funny the things that we'll do for money. Can I get a witness? And that's where we're going this morning. I want to preach to you about hell. About hell. I think any preacher that's worth their salt, and they don't have to be well trained, they don't have to have a number of degrees. All they have to do is be committed to the Word of God. And at some point, they're going to preach on this subject. You cannot miss it. You cannot dismiss it. You cannot get around it. And so even I this morning, I don't do a lot of preaching on it. But this morning, I'm going to preach to you so that you could tell somebody. I can only assume by looking out over the crowd that you look like this is not where you're going to end up. But there may be somebody that you know that has not made up their mind in terms of how to get out of this life. We all go through the same door, and that is death. But the issue is, where do you end up after? In the Old Testament, you may be confused with some words. In the Old Testament, the word for hell was Sheol. Let me hear you say Sheol. Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. In the New Testament, it's Hades. And it basically meant the place of the burning, which was the crematorium back during that time, Gehenna. Let me hear you say Gehenna. Yeah, where people, they burnt bodies instead of burying them because they didn't have a lot of land. And so it was, the crematory went all day and all night. I am very much confused this morning, not about what I'm going to preach on, but I'm confused with why anybody would want to go to hell. I mean, even if I didn't know that much about heaven, and even if I didn't know or even believe completely that heaven had all of these better things for me, I wouldn't certainly want to take a chance and go to hell. So I want to preach this morning to you from this subject. There are two places that the Bible says. I'm not saying about what anybody else says or about what any other beliefs are, but there are two places that the Bible says we can go when we die, and you will spend eternity there. You will spend eternity. And that eternity only has two options. One option is to spend the rest of your life with who created you, the one who is called the Father, but is also called the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we get there because we have accepted that that loving Father put on flesh, that loving God put on flesh and came to us as we celebrated here just a couple of weeks ago, Christ, the birth of God, Emmanuel, God come in the flesh. The other option is to go to hell, whatever you want to call it, Sheol, or you can call it Hades, but it's a place where God doesn't go. And there is no way out. There's only two choices. We can spend eternity with God, or we can spend eternity without God. What I want to share with you this morning is some things that you won't find in hell. And so I want to use as a question, and I'd like for you to preach after me the title, What in Hell, together, What in Hell Do You Want? What in hell do you want? I mean, for those who you may know, and those of you who have not made their choice yet, what in hell could you want? Now, let me say something to you. There is a lot of people who use the article, what the hell. That's not what we're saying this morning. The is an article. It is a definitive, that one. In is a preposition, which denotes position. You either inhale or you're not in hell. But what I want to help you this morning is to help others to understand some things that I think are way more important than money that you won't find in hell. We're going to be looking at Luke 16, 19 through 31, which is some familiar verses for many of us who have studied. It's called The Rich Man and Lazarus. And I want to tell you straight up so we can be clear here. The text around this text in context is actually about sharing your riches, sharing your abundance with people that don't have. Am I making sense to you? This is the chapter that is just before the chapter on lostness, where it talks about the two boys who were lost and they come back to the father. Well, this takes it a step further. What happens when you stay lost, when you don't accept God, when you don't make that relationship with God in this life? Our first verse says in 19, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. You know, we talked this morning in Bible study, John, about studying the word. There is so much in this verse that we could miss. There is so much in the coming verses that help us to understand that this isn't about rich people going to hell and poor people going to heaven. This is simply a man that probably didn't have as much as you had, but for his time, he stood out because he was dressed well every day. He lived in luxury every day. And then we see the second man. Oh, and I didn't say this, which is very important about the first man. We don't know what his name is. In some translations, they use the name Dives. Anybody ever seen that? But Dives is not a name. D-I-V-E-S. Dives means rich. So it is a description of what he had. But what the text is telling us is that, first of all, he did not know God, and God did not know him. And in order to get to heaven, you got to know God. Can I get a witness? And God's got to know you. And so at the gate was laid a beggar named, oh, he got a name. He's a beggar, but he's got a name. We got to find out what does his name mean. The name Lazarus means God will help. I'm a poor person, but God will help. I don't have very much, but God will help. I'm covered in sores. I'm parking in the disabled spot, but God will help. His very name says it plainly. I don't have the things that you have. I don't have the luxuries that a lot of people have. But the one thing that I do have that makes a difference for me is that God will help. What did the songs writer say that we just sung a few minutes ago? Whatever God has for me, he has for me. God will. You ever been there before? Where you felt like you didn't have the things that you needed necessarily for that moment and that time, but you didn't despair and you kept on singing all them sweet old hymns. Why? Because you believed in your heart that God will help. Help is on the way. That'll keep you going, won't it? That'll keep you striving. That'll keep you moving, even when things look like they're going to give up. 21, it says about this, we're seeing a lot about this poor guy, right? He longed to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Oh, there's a lot of meat right there, Dee. There's a lot of meat. First of all, I just want to go back just one second. I missed one thing. At his gate, talking about the rich man, was laid a beggar named Lazarus. Don't fault this rich man again for being rich. He's not a bad person, because at his gate was laid every day. Who was laid? Yeah, I don't know about you, but if somebody was laid at my gate every day, I'd have a problem. I'd be calling Vacaville police. I would be, because I don't want you to be at the front of my house every day. I mean, one day we may get by, but not every day. This man allowed him to be laid there every day, covered with sores, hungry. Not only that, he was attracting the mongrels from the neighborhood who came and licked his sores. I got a feeling the man was probably tired of pushing them dogs off. You know, dogs will do that if they think you got a sore, because there's some healing element in their tongue and their saliva. They'll come and they'll lick your sores. But I'm sure that this guy, that's not what he was there for. I need some food. I'm hungry. And this rich man was probably giving him some food. Well, how do we know that? Because it said he longed to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Well, how did this food fall from the rich man's table? During this time, people didn't have napkins like we have. They didn't go to Walmart and get their utensils and so forth. They used big pieces of bread to wipe their hands. They didn't eat that bread. They took that bread and they threw it on the floor. And that's where old Lazarus was. He was waiting for some of that bread to fall to him. Do you see the picture? The rich man is not a bad person. Not in the sense that we usually hear preachers talk about him. Five principles. What in hell do you want? Some things you won't find in hell. Number one, there's no time in hell. There's no time in hell. You know, I noticed something. Most of you, you get out and you start scooting over here because you know that our minister of music is going to start service, and our worship lead, they're going to start service whether anybody's here or not, because we're online. But also too, we're a time conscious element. Can I? That's just who we are. So we get in here because we don't want to miss worship. Well, there's no time in hell. Time stops. It's eternity. There is no 24 hours. There is no minutes. There is no hours. In verse 22, it says the time came. You know, isn't that how it is with God? I don't care what I'm doing. I don't care what I'm involved in. If I make a decision that I don't want to be bothered with God, at some point the time comes. I can kick dust in your face all I want to, but I need to remember, John, that the time comes. And the time came when the beggar died and the angels, hey, that's important, is it? They carried him. In other words, could you see him? All those years now, he's been sleeping on the street. All those years, he's been begging. All those years, he didn't have. But when he died, the angels came. The escorts from heaven came. And they said, okay, oh Lazarus, you believed all of your life that God will help. Now you're going to really see it. Now you're going to really experience it. You know, we love to say it, but this is a great example of it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He didn't spend any time in the grave. There is no grave spoken about him there. He just went. My escort is here. See ya. My escort is here. You know what? When it's time to go to heaven, everything else becomes secondary. I know you love your mama, but it will become secondary. I know that you love your children, but it will become secondary. I know that you love your church, but it will become secondary when your escort comes. God Almighty, I feel pretty good. When your escort comes, I'm ready to go. I'd hate But my escort is here. This is what we've been working on all these years. Almost our whole time of being married, we've been serving the Lord together. And when the escort comes, I have to leave you for the one who is the center of my life. Can I get a witness? Now, the rich man also died. And was what? He was buried. No escort. Maybe you don't get an escort to hell. I don't know. But all we know is he died and he was buried. The most important thing I want you to understand, and that we need to tell people, you may not have time for God right now, but there'll come a time when he doesn't have time for you. I know that's a harsh reality, but it's true. There'll come a time when God will say, enough is enough. I made you. I designed you. I provided for you. But that, have you been there before? Some of us have had children that have not appreciated what we gave them. Can I get a witness? Don't raise your hand. Go like this. Because you know we're on TV. They may see you. And you said to yourself, or you might have said to your spouse, I'm not giving anymore. I'm not doing anymore. That's it. They don't appreciate it. I don't care how much you give them. I don't care how much you do for them. I don't care how much you put out. They just take, take, take. And so it's over. And then next week they come back and they say, can I borrow $500? Okay. Well, God says, no more $500. No more $5. No more 5 cents. No more opportunities. No more chances. Time is up. Game over. Can I get a witness? That's a horrible thought. But yet, this is Jesus. Who's talking here? Who's talking? You know, Jesus, and you know, you could miss something. You could miss something very important. This is not a parable. This is not a made-up story. Jesus never uses names in parables. You know, like the two boys and the two sons of this type of thing. He never uses name in parable. This is a real story. Jesus says, I'm not playing. This one here is for real. And if you don't get this right, then I don't care whatever else you get right in life. It'll never be right. There's going to come a time when time is over. That's number one. Number two, there's no peace in hell. There's no time in hell. No opportunity for second chances. There's no peace in hell. There are two words for peace in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word for peace is shalom. When the people would greet one another, especially Israelites, they say shalom. That means that we weren't fighting anybody because they were always fighting somebody, either the Hittites or the Perizzites or some other kind of site. They were fighting. In the New Testament, the word for peace is irene. Blessed are the peacemakers, irene poios, those who make peace. They will be called the children of God. You ever feel like that when you have church meeting? And it's a business meeting and the people are fighting one another and somebody says, hey, let's go into prayer. No, I want to fight. No, let's go into prayer. We need those folk around, don't we? You see, there is peace on the inside that surpasses the understanding of whatever division and conflict is going on the outside. What I want you to understand here is there is no shalom and there is no irene. There comes a point when peace. How many of you have been where I think I've been, where it looked like peace was taking an awful long time to come? Have you been there? where you were just about ready to give up. And just about that point, peace came. That surpassed all understanding. And it gave you the strength to hang in there. How do you think the people felt, the Jews during Germany in the Holocaust? When is this going to end? Is there no peace? What about the Native Americans here in the United States? Their land was taken and they were pushed off into other parts of this country and still, in many times, in many instances, annihilated. When is peace going to come? The African Americans that were brought here on slave ships like sardines, that must have been crazy. It took about 3 months to come from Africa to the United States. Could you imagine being on a ship like that? Somebody says, can I get a bathroom break? No peace. Just go where you are. Vietnam, the killing fields. I mean, we can go on and on where it looks like no peace. But for those of us who have Jesus, we know that one day peace is going to come, don't we? Make you want to stand up and shout. Make you want to stand up and say thank you. Hallelujah. I may be going through this right now. I may be down right now. But you see, I've got peace that surpasses all understanding. I got peace like a river. The world can't give it and the world can't take it away. But one day God will take it away and there'll be no peace. And look at what it says. It says in hell. Now, remember, Lazarus is not in hell. He's in heaven. But I want you to notice something. He don't say anything in this whole story. He's quiet. The one that's in hell is doing all the talking. You can't talk your way out of hell. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and he saw Abraham. Abraham is a metaphor for God in this story. But as Jesus is telling it, they would understand Father Abraham was the head of the Israelite nation at the time. Far away, he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He could see Lazarus, but I don't know if Lazarus could see him. Or even if Lazarus was even thinking about that. Because, you know, if I'm in heaven, I ain't even thinking about hell. I got to, you know, but he could see it. And he was in torment. And I'm sure he's thinking to himself, how do I get out of this? But you can't get out. There's no peace. There's no irene. There is no shalom. And notice something. The dialogue is between the rich man, though he's not rich now. The rich man, and he's not in hell because he was rich. He was in hell because he didn't know God. Lazarus knew God. His very name means what again? God will help. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire. You know, I know that this fire is not the same fire we've experienced in life. You know, for those of you who still have gas ovens, we got a gas oven, stove. You can turn it off. Can I get a witness? You can turn it off. Or when it gets too hot and cooking, you can turn it down. No, this is not that kind of hell. This is the kind of hell where it's always hot, where it's always tormenting. You can't turn it down. There's nobody to turn it down. There's nobody to make it more comforting. There's nobody to make it just right for you. Anybody here like it just right in your house? Can you imagine it being always 10,000 degrees, always hot? No peace. There's no peace in hell. There's no time in hell. Number three. How many did I say? All right. Number three. There's no memory loss in hell. I love this one, and I'll tell you why. How many of you have ever done some bad stuff in life? Anybody, raise your hand. Be honest. Okay, about three of us. And you know what? I'm not kidding. Javier, I'm sorry for that stuff. I look back at some of the stuff, it was just plain stupid. It was childish. And I caused other people harm. I caused my family harm. I led other people who were watching me as a model to do the bad stuff. And it sometimes will come up in my memory. But I thank God that God has given me a memory that I can push things down. We call it repress. I can repress it. I can't make it all go away, but I can make it so that it doesn't depress me. I can make it so that it's not every day. But you see, in hell, you can't do that. In hell, you are reminded every day of why you're in hell. It wasn't because of your money. It wasn't because of your sumptuous living. Oh, all those things could be held against you, but that's not why you're in hell. You're in hell because you don't believe that God is Jesus. But Abraham replied, son, what did he tell him? Son, notice something. Abraham calls him what? You missed it. I don't like to see my children go to hell, but you missed it. Remember that in your lifetime, you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you're in agony. Remember, you never called on me. Remember, you never showed up to prayer meeting. Remember, you didn't have time for Bible study. Remember, you never thought about going to worship. Remember that you ate well every day. You know, he would give old Lazarus some bread, wouldn't he? But you know what? That wasn't the problem. The problem was God was saying, like he's saying to many of us, you could do a little bit more. You could have done a little bit more. How many of you, for those that you see that have less, oh, I know it was Christmas and you gave that man or that woman at Walmart a few extra dollars, but how many of you could have given more? I know that some of you, every time you see somebody that's in a despairing situation, you give something, but how many of us could give a little bit more? God is saying that is one of the reasons not why you're in hell, but because you're in a situation where you see the stuff that you wanted. I am the originator of all of that. Don't you know my streets are made with the stuff you were trying to achieve? I use gold and silver pavement. You had it all in your lifetime. And I want you to remember something. It wasn't worth anything then, and it's not worth anything. Sure enough, not worth anything now. You know, and you can't get that out of your mind. Every day you're reminded of that. You know, it's sort of like having a good marriage, and you see somebody that tells you you're cute, and both male and females get told they're cute, and you're not all that cute. Amen. But you like hearing it. And so you're drawn to that person that doesn't mean you any good. It's not your spouse. And you gave away a good marriage. Remember, oh, he wasn't all that. He wasn't looking like Denzel or I don't know whoever your favorite actor is. He might have had a little stomach like Gainey's hanging over his pants. But he was a good man. She was a good woman. Can I get a witness? But God says what? Remember. This didn't just happen. Remember, you worked on this all your life. Remember, you threw dirt in my face all your life. Remember, you didn't have time for me all your life. Remember. There's no time in hell. There's no peace in hell. There's no memory loss in hell. Number four, there's no bridges in hell. You can't get out. Once you're in, you're in. It's the same way with heaven, though. Once you're in, you're in. There's no bridge across. How many of you remember that old song? It sounded like a folk song. Like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. You know, that's very soothing. But in hell, there is no bridge. There's a deep chasm, but there is no bridge. You can't find the bridge. I hate the bridges out here in California. And I tell you why. When we first moved out here, I think it was like 50 cents or maybe a dollar and a half to go across. Now it's almost $10. I'm saying the same old bridge and you keep going up on it. You know, if I could, what I'd do is I'd go down to the bottom of the peninsula and I would get on the ferry and I'd go across. No, I wouldn't. I'll just keep on praying. Can I get a witness? And they know that, don't they? Because this is the shortest and the easiest way across. Let me tell you something. Jesus, y'all don't hear me. He is the shortest. And he is the easiest way to cross. If you're concerned about getting across, if you're concerned about getting to the other side, or you may not even know what the other side is, but if you're concerned about it, Jesus is the best way. He says, and besides all this, this is God speaking, Abraham speaking, he said, between us and you, there's a great chasm. That means a great deep divide. Oh, it's bigger than the Grand Canyon. And it's been fixed. In other words, you can't change it. That's just the way God made it. So that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. Living Hope, I can preach to you a million sermons every day, but it will not change the fact that Jesus is the only way. You could come and sit in this sanctuary. You can make this church your idol. That's right. You can make a preacher your idol, and can't none of them get you across. A woman on Good Friday, you know what Good Friday is, right? Most of you know Good Friday. That's the Friday that Jesus got crucified. She went to the jewelry store to buy herself a cross, you know, like a cross, like some of you all are wearing right now. And she goes to buy the cross, and the jeweler says, oh, I've got a nice cross right here. And she sees it's a cross, and it's got the man Jesus on it. And she said, oh, no. Could you give me a cross that doesn't have a man on it? I don't want a cross with a man. That's too sorrowful. That's too painful. That's too hurtful. I don't want to be reminded of somebody nailed to a cross. Can you sell me a cross that doesn't have a man on it? And the jeweler looked at her and said, oh, this is Good Friday, ma'am. We don't sell those crosses until Sunday. You got to come back next week for that. You see, on Good Friday, we only sell crosses with the man on it because we want the world to know you can't get a cross without the man who is on the cross. He's the only way. If you want to go and be with the Father, there is no other way than through the Son. He's the only way to get across. No time in hell, no peace in hell, no memory loss in hell, no bridge in hell, and no Jesus. No Jesus? Somebody should say, no Jesus? You mean Jesus never shows up there? You mean that I'm going to be in a place where there's never a time that Jesus is going to come knocking at my door. Even John, when he was on the island of Patmos as a prisoner, Jesus showed up. You mean to tell me there's a place where Jesus never goes? I'm sorry to tell you, but that's the truth. Jesus doesn't go to hell. He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house." He had five brothers. And so he sees Lazarus there and notice something. Has Lazarus said anything? No, Lazarus is sitting up there and he's probably going like this next to Abraham. "I knew when you was handing me that bread, things could change." Could you send Lazarus, you know, the one who believed that God will help? Could you send him to my house? "For I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." In other words, they have the Old Testament. Let them listen. He says, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they'll repent." If someone from the dead, Jesus came from the what? He died for me and he died for you. And still there are people who want to do what? Go to hell. And Abraham replies, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." If they will not believe the Bible, they won't even believe Jesus. But Jesus comes anyway. Can I get a witness? So what in hell do you want? Make sure you ask somebody, what do you want? What do you want that is so important that you would miss heaven? Tell me what you won't find there. Come on, y'all. There's no time in hell. For those of you who love being late, let me tell you, you're just gonna miss it. No peace in hell, always torment. You can't suppress this. You don't just happen to be in hell. You go to hell because you allowed yourself to be there. You can't get out from that side. And the last one. Come on, say it all the time. It's up there. There's no Jesus. 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 And let me tell you what. Just knowing that there is no Jesus would be enough for me to say there's nothing. Nothing. So what in hell do I want? Stand to your feet if you really believe that. There's nothing I want. Isn't it good to grow up? We talked about that in Bible study today. Isn't it good to grow up to the point where I don't have to have a bigger house. I don't have to have a bigger car. I don't have to have another spouse. I don't have to have all of the money in the bank. Just give me Jesus. That'll be enough for me. You see, like Lazarus, no matter where I find myself, God will help me. Deke, would you come? Brother Doel, would you come? And we get a couple of counselors up. There may be some folk in here this morning. It may look like they've been saved, but they may not have made that choice yet. And maybe you've made that choice, but you want to be a part of a Bible believing church, a Bible teaching church. This is the one, isn't it? Can I get a witness? This is the one, without a doubt. And it's not that way just because I say so, but they demand it of you. We want to hear what thus saith the Lord. Get a couple of our counselors up here. And now you think about where you are. Think about somebody in your life. Lord, could I do something more? Could I share something more? You know, if it was a crust of bread, it would be more tangible. But you see, it's God. I have to really convince somebody that this is of value. I have to stay with this because they won't get it the first time. But oh, the joy when they do believe. Won't you come? Won't you come?